Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Well, good morning, Spoken Word.
Well, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a wonderful time with family and friends celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now we got 2020 rolling right at us. This has been a very, very busy week for me. This is actually my fourth sermon in the last week that I've had to give, the fourth different sermon. And so I'm looking forward to having a day off tomorrow when it rains on my golf trip, my golf outing that I was going to have. But that's okay. It was actually a wonderful week. It was a great week being able to share the Word of God with a bunch of people. Last night, I was given the opportunity to marry Adam and Adriana, Dominic and Guida's son, and now daughter-in-law. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful event. I mean, it was beautiful the way that it was done. And it was funny, the day before when they had the rehearsal dinner, we were walking in, and as Molly and I were walking in, we were walking in with Adriana's dad. And we were talking about this, that, or the other thing. And the topic of his mom came up, who was also at the rehearsal lunch. And he said to her, oh, yeah, when you meet her, she's all of about this tall. And she was like 4 foot nothing. But she is ornery. He said, and when she finds out that you're a pastor, she right off the bat, she's going to give you a hard time because she is anti-everything. And so he's telling me this as we're walking in, and as we round the corner, who's standing right in front of us but his little 4 foot nothing mother, right, with a scowl on her face and the whole thing. And I walk up, and he's just now telling me this, that when she finds out you're a pastor, she's just going to give you the hardest time. So as we walk up, he introduces me to her. He says, Mom, I want to introduce you to Pastor Bob. And she looks up at me, and she goes, Pastor? I said, that's right, and I'm the best-looking one you've ever seen. She went, she had no idea how to respond. I completely disarmed her. She started laughing, and I said, it's very nice to meet you. And I walked and I sat down. She never had a chance to say anything to me. And all of my humility, right? So the next day is the wedding. Last night is the wedding. And I worked really hard on this wedding, as I do with all weddings. And it came off really, really nice. It was a very pretty time for the bride and for the groom. And as I mentioned, just the service, just in general, I mean, the entire event was beautiful. And as we got done, I ran into her, and I really wanted to make this, I mean, after meeting the mom, I wanted to do such a good job, because afterwards I wanted to go to the grandma, and I asked her, and I said, so, this is just so beautiful. Don't you think everything went well? And again, she looked up at me and she goes, you took too long. All right, well, I guess you just can't please everybody. But that's okay, because, you know, the reason why I worked as hard as I did wasn't necessarily to please her. It was because I wanted to honor God. I wanted to honor God every time I get up here, in fact. It's not for myself, it's because I want to honor God with the things that I say, with the things that I do, and at the same time, I wanted to serve Adam and Adriana. I wanted to serve the whole family, and how they receive that is really between them and God. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time, and we're going to talk a lot about these things today as we open up. We're going to open up here in just a little bit to John chapter 12. We're going to be back in John. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been here, since we were in chapter 11. And so I know maybe some of you weren't here as we were studying through chapter 11. So I'm just going to refresh your memories just a little bit. Remember in chapter 11, as we studied that, Jesus had received word that a dear friend of his, a man named Lazarus, had become sick. We know that he would eventually die. And although things, when he got the message, although things looked really, really grim, we know that Jesus used this entire situation not only to glorify himself, but also to glorify God through him. In fact, he waited 2 days after even getting the message before he went back, because he wanted Lazarus not only to be dead, but he wanted him to be really, really ripe in the grave before he did what he was going to do, right? In the meantime, the disciples, they were against going back. You might remember that. The disciples didn't want Jesus to go back because they knew that the Jews wanted to kill Jesus for previous interactions that he had had with them. But Jesus was resolute. There was nothing that was going to get in his way that was going to stop him from bringing glory to his Father. So when he returned to Bethany, which is where Lazarus was from, the first interaction he had was with Lazarus's sister, Martha. Now, Martha came running out to him when he got there, and, And of course, she was upset because she knew that if Jesus had been there, that maybe Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would still be alive. And so they had this interaction, and Jesus said to her, and you'll remember this in verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And it was really an important moment for Martha in her life as she came to understand in that moment that, yes, I do believe this. That even though my brother has died physically, even though I'm going to die physically, that I will get to live forever with you. And so it was an incredible moment. The second interaction that he had was with Mary. Mary, after Martha had her conversation with him, she went running back, got her sister. Mary came out and said the same thing to him. If you had only been here, Jesus, then my brother would still be alive. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus basically told her, well, I'm here now. And then we had a chance to see the heart of Jesus. As he looked out over everybody who was crying and sad, he looked out over the brokenness of humanity, and he himself began to cry, and he said, well, show me where the grave is. And then with a loud voice, he told him to remove the stone, and he yelled, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, like it was Return of the Mummies, comes out walking out of there wearing his grave clothes, and he told all the people, now take those off. Grave clothes are for dead people, not for the living. And all of a sudden, there was Lazarus standing there alive. And you would think that everyone who witnessed this would have bowed down before Jesus. Many did. But there were many others who ran off to tell the Pharisees, to tell the religious leaders of the time what had happened, to try and stir up some trouble. And that's exactly what they did. The leaders actually formed a council called the Sanhedrin because they wanted to know, what are we going to do with this guy? Here he is, now he's raising people from the dead. What does this mean for us? Well, the end result was that they wanted Jesus dead. They said, this is it. We need to put a stop to this. So at the end of chapter 11, we're told that Jesus withdrew. He withdrew to the desert, a region near the desert, because it wasn't his time yet. Although, as we continue to study on, what we'll find is his time is getting closer and closer. So with that, we're going to open up here to chapter 12, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1 and see where the story takes us. It reads this way. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Now, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Amen. So the story continues. We're 6 days before the Passover. Jesus returns to Bethany from hanging out in the desert. And as he comes walking into town, as you can imagine, the family is very, very excited about him being there. After all, he had given Lazarus a second chance at life. He had taken away the grief and the sorrow of the family.
And so they said, let us throw you a party. Let us throw you a dinner. Let us make you the special guest of honor in our home. Now, over the past month, as we entered the Christmas season, we talked a lot about joy. We talked about why we should have it, how we can step into it. But at the end of the day, the reason for our joy, really, if we were just to simplify it, is because Jesus took on flesh to save us. Jesus took on flesh to give us life, not a second chance at physical life, but to give us an opportunity to have eternal life in him. And so I think all of us would agree that he deserves to be honored by each of us for what he accomplished in giving us this life. And as we look deeper into our text, what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at Lazarus. And we're going to take a look at Martha. And we're going to take a look at Mary, each of them, and how they honor Jesus in this text. Each of them honoring him in a different way. And what we're going to see is that there are ways in which we, as Christian men and women, can honor Jesus today for really the same thing. So the first person we want to talk about here is Lazarus, the man who was dead and then made alive in Christ. I think everyone who's been saved by Jesus, who's found life in Jesus, we should be able to relate to where Lazarus is right now in this moment. Now, I think if somebody saw Lazarus, right, they might say, why are you so happy? Not knowing maybe what had taken place, they might say, why are you always so happy? And I think Lazarus would say, I once was dead, and now I'm alive. And for all of us who have received Jesus, we should have that same feeling, right? I was once dead, and now I'm alive. That's why I'm so happy all the time. So Lazarus, as a result, with him going through this experience, right? Where do we find him in our story? We find him reclining at the table with Jesus. We see him sitting with him, enjoying his presence, breaking bread, having communion with his Lord, with his Savior, with the one who gave him life. This is where we find Lazarus in our story. You know, one of the three ways that I'm going to talk about, of the three people that I'm going to talk about today, this one is the easiest, right? Sitting in the presence of God, enjoying communion with him, spending time with him, celebrating the life that he has given us. It's the easiest thing we could do. It's the easiest way to honor Jesus is to spend that time with him. You know, when I over Christmas, I was contemplating this sermon, I was convicted about this to some degree. You know, as parents, we love it when our children, the people we gave life to, we love it when they want to spend time with us, don't we? I mean, especially on the holiday. We love it when they make time to be with us. Last night, one of the women that I was sitting next to at the wedding, we were just talking about life, and I asked her how her Christmas was, and she said, well, it was okay. You know, I was expecting that my daughter was going to come over with her husband and my brand new grandbaby who's only 6 months old, and that they were going to stay for dinner and that they were going to spend time with us. But that's not what happened. She did come over, but it was really just in passing, just kind of like she had to get it off the list, and then she went over to somebody else's house for dinner. And it hurt my heart, she said. You know, as parents, we want time with our children. In a sense, what we want them is to honor us with their presence, right? It's funny, Ryan, I shouldn't say it's funny, Ryan is getting ready to join, we think he's going to join the Coast Guard when he graduates high school. And so the funny part is that Molly said, well, wherever he is next year, we're hopping on a plane and we're going there. So Ashley and I and Molly, wherever he may be, I guess that's where we're going for Christmas. Kind of like the Wards, you know, a lot of us, we traveled out of town to go be with family. Well, imagine now, you make those plans. You travel out of town. You buy the plane ticket. You deal with the crowds, right? And all of that goes with that.
And you get there and you're all excited to spend time with this child of yours. And he says he's too busy. I just can't make it today. Sorry, mom and dad. Right? Certainly that wouldn't be honoring to us. But unfortunately, I think sometimes this is how we treat Jesus. This is why it was convicting for me. He came a long way to be with us. He came from heaven. He was the one who created us, gave us life. He gave us eternal life, and he paid a ransom for each and every one of us. And too often, we don't honor him with our presence simply because we choose not to spend time with him in his presence. You know, spending time with Jesus, communing with him, it's the easiest way to honor him. And by the way, the conversation's great. When you do take that time, the conversation is great. Imagine the conversation that Lazarus was having at the table, that they were all having together as this dinner was taking place. I'm sure one of the first things Lazarus was talking about is, Jesus, I just can't believe you did this. I am so grateful for you. I am so thankful that you gave me a second chance at life, that you've given me more time with my family and with my friends. There were so many things that I wanted to do, and so thank you, Jesus, thank you. You know, when I came out of cancer, when I survived cancer back 7 years ago, I remember praying that same prayer in the presence of God, saying, God, thank you for giving me more time with this beautiful family. And that included all of you. But, you know, I also remember having the same conversation with him when I had cancer, when I didn't know, when the future was uncertain. I remember sitting in the presence of God saying, God, thank you for the time you've given me with this beautiful family and with this family of mine. Right? Every day is a gift. And when we sit in the presence of God, I think that just comes out of us. Lord, thank you. Or at least it should. I think Lazarus was probably asking questions. Jesus, please tell me more about the kingdom of God. I want to know more about the kingdom of God, please. If you were sitting at the table with Jesus, wouldn't you have questions? Jesus, could you give me a little more insight into heaven? I'd just like a little more insight, right? How about eternal life? What's that like in the universe? How did you create it? And what about dinosaurs? Could you tell me about the dinosaurs? I talk to more people, right, who come to me and they say, when I get to heaven, I got a couple of questions for God. Right? We've all heard that, haven't we? Maybe we've even all asked that. Why wait until you get to heaven? Why not spend time in his presence now? I think we would all be amazed at the answers that we might get if we sat prayerfully, spending time in his word, listening for his voice, maybe quieting our own just for a moment. I also think that if we were sitting at that table, we might ask him, Jesus, what should I do next? What does tomorrow hold? I mean, you've given me a second chance at this life, so what am I supposed to do now with this? Right? This conversation, these questions, they only happen if we honor him with our presence, by spending time in his presence. Time is a valuable commodity in our lives. And I'm just going to be real with you just for a second here, but we have to decide if Jesus is worth giving him some of it. David did. There's a Psalm 16 and verses 7 through 11. Listen to David. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. David knew there was no better place to be than the presence of God. That's where joy was. you can be rest assured that David made time for him. That as valuable as the time was to David, he made sure he gave some of it to God to honor him by spending time with him, communing with him. You see, this is what Lazarus was doing as he reclined at that table, as he celebrated this life that God had given him. He was sitting in the presence of his Lord. And then there was Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Our little servant. In verse 2, we're told that while Lazarus was reclining, that Martha was busy serving. She was serving Jesus, and at the same time, she was serving everyone else. You see, this is how she was honoring God, by the way in which she was serving Jesus and all those who were there. And notice, she wasn't looking for anything in return either. She was serving from a heart of thankfulness, of being grateful for what God had done in her life and in the life of her brother. She was serving because Jesus being in her house, that was the privilege. He was the honored guest. And here's the thing. She wanted everyone else. She wanted others, everyone else who was there. She wanted them to enjoy his presence. That's what she wanted. You see, that's why we serve. We serve because we want others to experience the presence of God through us. Not because we're trying to earn God's favor or because we're trying to get something in return from God. Far too often, that's the reason why we serve. If I do this, then God will do this. No, we serve God because he's God. We serve Jesus because he is our Lord. He is our Savior. That is why we serve him. It's not because we want something in return. We serve because we want others to experience the same love that we have experienced from him. And we want others to come and celebrate by being in his presence. And when we serve in this way, by the way, the world, it's just not ordinary. The world doesn't know what to do with it. You know, this beautiful woman, Shar, who went home to be with the Lord, Noel was telling me a story about how one day she was there, the ladies were there visiting, and this woman was raised Episcopalian, so in a denomination, and she wanted a book of prayers, and so Noel was going to bring her the book of prayers, and one day they were sitting together, and Shar was a pretty forthright woman, and she was a darling, darling woman. She would talk your ear off, and she said to Noel, she said, you know, I hope you don't think you're going to convert me. Right? She was thinking that the only reason Noel and the other ladies who were there was because she was trying to pull her out of the Episcopalian church and into our church, maybe wanting donations or something along those lines. That was the only reason. There had to be a reason why Noel and the others were visiting her. She had a hard time understanding that, you mean you're really just here to love me? You don't want anything in return? Just that you might know that God loves you. And that's why when I say that as a church we had an opportunity to walk her to the gates of heaven, that's exactly what I mean. And that's what happens when we serve with a heart that doesn't expect anything else in return. We just serve because we want them to experience the love that Christ has for them through us. And sometimes this gets confusing. As I mentioned, when we serve, if we serve, for some that's a big if, it's because we do want to get something in return. And that's the wrong heart. This was the heart of Judas. You know, a little further down, Judas scolds Mary for taking that perfume and dumping it out on Jesus' feet. And there's this whole scene with her with the hair. And he says, don't you know? That was worth a year's wages. That was worth a fortune, and you just wasted it. We could have sold that, and we could have given the money to the poor. But he wasn't really interested in serving the poor, was he? And we were told that in verse 6. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. he wanted to sell the perfume. And I do believe that he would have given some of the money to the poor. But in the back of his mind, he was going to profit from it as well. And I think that's a trap that we can all fall into when we serve God. We're looking, how is this going to benefit me? And the problem is when we have that mindset, we're no longer honoring God. Now what's happening there is we're really honoring ourselves. You know, I was so proud of Ashley. You know, she got up and she's talking about this ISP thing. What is that, International Service Project? This ISP thing that she's going on. She had originally, when she put in for this, she wanted to go to Taiwan and thought that's where she was going. Well, something changed midstream, and they said, oh, you're no longer going to Taiwan. Now you're going to go to this other place somewhere in Europe. And instead of serving disabled children, you're going to go to a very well-to-do college. And what we want you to do is sit in the coffee shop and talk to people when they come in. Okay, and share Jesus. Now, on the surface, that actually isn't a bad thing. And I had this conversation with her that actually, you know, some of the richest places are the places that need Jesus the most, right? Because they don't feel like they have a need for Jesus. And although Ashley understood that, she felt like God has called her at this point not to go sit in a coffee shop where she can drink coffees and talk to people all day, but she feels like she needs to be helping children. Being there, that's where she's going to serve God. That's where she's going to help people the most. And she was really torn by this. And as she talked to some of the people at her school, they said, yeah, but this will be such a good experience for you. And I was proud of her because she thought to herself, yeah, but it's not about my experience. It's about serving God. It's about helping these children. You see, it's tricky how it sneaks in. Paul said this in Romans 12, verses 10 and 11. He said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I love that scripture. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If we want to honor God, then the easy thing is we honor him with our presence, by spending time with him in his presence. But I promise you this, that as you spend time with him, and I'm talking quality time, that will motivate you to want to serve him. Because you're going to ask him to guide you in how we should serve him. But see, sometimes we skip that first part, and we go right to we skip A and we jump right to B. In fact, our friend Martha, she did that. If we were to study Luke 10, you guys might remember the story, but this is where Jesus had visited their house once before. And Martha was running around, and she was taking care of all the arrangements. And Mary, once again, was at the feet of Jesus. Only this time, in this chapter, Martha started bellyaching about it. Jesus, shouldn't you tell her to help me? Jesus said, no, Martha, what she's doing is right. This is where you should be first. At my feet, and then I'll guide your steps. I'll tell you where to go. If we want to honor God, then we should serve him by serving others, right? We should spend time with him, and then we should serve him by serving others without any expectation of something in return, so that others can spend time in his presence as we have. Well, the last person who we see who honors God here is Mary, right? Really, the story kind of revolves around Mary here, because she's the one with the perfume, the one who broke the bottle that was worth a year's wages. And she was willing to sacrifice it all, to pour it on the feet of Jesus. And it wasn't just the perfume either, as we look at how she behaves here and the things that she does. It's how she bows before him. Look at the humility of Mary as we study this passage of Scripture. As she bows before him. Picture her on her knees, her long hair, as she wipes the perfume all over Jesus. This is a picture of a woman who is willing to humbly give all of what she had. She was humbly willing to give all of who she was to her Lord. She was willing to sacrifice
to honor her Lord. See, Lazarus sat in the presence of the Lord, and that was honoring. Martha was serving the Lord, and that was honoring. And here we see Mary, who's sacrificing to the Lord, and this is honoring. You know, can I tell you something? If you're sitting here right now, and you're wondering why you don't spend more time with God, you're thinking, oh, I should spend more time with God. Or wondering why you don't serve him more by serving others. Why don't I serve more? Or if you're like Mike, who was up here a little bit ago, and he said, well, I'm a cheapskate. I really don't give a lot of money. And I know that. I eat breakfast with Mike every week. Right? If this is us, the answer is simple. And it's a painful answer. It's that we aren't willing to make that sacrifice for him. You have made yourself, your own desires, your own wants, your own needs even, more important than honoring him. We all know what Romans 12:1 said. Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, when they brought sacrifices to the altar in the Old Testament, the sacrifices didn't have the option of saying, not today. Really, I got a full calendar. I appreciate the fact that you need a sacrifice, but I'm really not the guy. You know, there's Joe. He's the other lamb down the other stall. Why don't you pick him? Because I'd really rather not. It sounds too hard. It might be something that I wouldn't enjoy, maybe a little bit painful. So if you would, I'd appreciate it if you would choose another sacrifice on this day. Check back with me tomorrow. They didn't have that option. When the sacrifice was called upon, it went to the altar. And you know, sacrifice just by nature is hard. It's painful. And certainly something that's being sacrificed would want to avoid. Mike Baker, he always says, you might have heard him say it before, but he always says the problem with a living sacrifice is that it always wants to crawl off the altar. And that's what God calls us to be, right? That living sacrifice. But we always want to crawl off of the altar. And we look at Martha, and she wasn't crawling off the altar. Not Martha, Mary. She was crawling towards it. Can I tell you that this doesn't have to be so dramatic either? I know we study the scriptures, and we see these characters, and I get up here, and I dramatize it a little bit. But it's in the little things. You know, this week, as Molly and I, we were out and about, and we were preparing, and as I mentioned, it was a very busy week for me. Four sermons, four different topics, and I'm running around, and we're having to prepare for a lot of different things. And I've been getting this text from somebody at the nursing home, one of the nursing homes that I visit, and she's very, very sweet, but she'll send me a text, honey, and that's how she always starts, honey, sweetie, actually it's sweetie, I don't have any Diet Cokes. Could you bring me some Diet Cokes? I don't have time, because this is what happens too. It's not just Diet Coke, because then I'll bring her Diet Coke and she'll go, oh, sweetie, could you bring me some gum? Bring you some gum. Then it'll be, oh, sweetie, can you bring me some popcorn? And so I was this close to just ignoring the text. Just going to ignore it, right? She'll be fine. She doesn't need Diet Coke. It's bad for her anyways, right? And then you start to convince yourself that it wouldn't even be honoring to God for me to bring these things to her, because now I'm just enabling this bad behavior. This old woman bugging me in the middle of my day. So God took me to task on that. We went to the grocery store. We picked up some Coke and some gum. Molly and I, we went to the nursing home, we brought it to her. And then as we were leaving, and I knew this was coming, I said to Molly, I said, I'm going to get a text. And I did. But let me read it to you. It was so wonderful seeing you and your beautiful wife. Thank you so much for bringing me all of those sodas. I can't even tell you how much that means to me.
please have a beautiful Jesus Day and a happy new year. Okay? I love you. Bye-bye. When Paul said that we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, when he said that it was holy and pleasing to God, when he said that it was our spiritual act of worship, it made me think of Mary. You know, when Mary was on her knees and that perfume was all through her hair and it was the fragrance was all through the home, permeating the home, it made me think of her. When we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, that's what happens. The spiritual act of worship, it goes up before God as a beautiful fragrance. It rises up before him, pleasing to him. I was talking with someone the other day about my life before Christ and how I was the antithesis of this. I was not willing to sacrifice myself for anything. And I thought about that. Instead of my life being a pleasing aroma rising up before God, what did it smell like then? I thought to myself, stench was the word that came to mind. You know, much like the Jewish leaders in our text, not only do they want to kill Jesus, but they want to kill what he's done. They want to kill the work of Jesus. You know what I realized? There's really no such thing as a neutral smell in the kingdom of God. There's either a beautiful fragrance in the way that we live our lives or a stench. And when I choose not to honor God with my presence by being in his presence, when I choose to serve myself and not serve him by serving others, when I choose to crawl off of the altar, my life starts to smell like a locker room in the kingdom, no matter how pretty I dress it up with the things of this world. Honor Jesus. Spend time with him. Serve him. Sacrifice yourself. Let your life be a beautiful fragrance in the kingdom of God. And then, sit back and watch what he does. Let's pray. Father, you know, as long as I've been a Christian, as long as I've been studying your word, as many Bible studies as I've been to, as many sermons as I've given, I wonder when I will learn some of these concepts myself, where I won't fall down and miss the mark as often as I do. I ask your forgiveness, Jesus, for those moments when I am self-serving, when I'm not willing to sacrifice, when I don't want to spend time. But right now, on behalf of all of us, Jesus, I want to praise you for your patience. I want to praise you, Jesus, because you continue to reach out for us and call us. And that no matter how many times we say, no, not today, Jesus, we don't have time, you are always right there waiting for us the moment we're ready. You are such a good and gracious God. And my prayer for each one of us in here is that our lives, that they come up before you as a fragrant offering, one that's pleasing in the same way that Mary pleased you, with the way that she honored you. And I know that the perfume that she poured out was in preparation for your death, for your burial, but Jesus, may our lives be a fragrance of life and gratefulness for that life. We all love you, and we all need you. And so, Father God, be our strength. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen.